From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 7. There is no spot in thee. Having pronounced his church positively full of beauty, our Lord confirms his praise by a precious negative. There is no spot in thee. As if the thought occurred to the bridegroom that the carping world would insinuate that he had only mentioned her comely parts, and had purposely omitted those features which were deformed or defiled, he sums up all by declaring her universally and entirely fair and utterly devoid of stain. A spot may soon be removed, and is the very least thing that can disfigure beauty. But even from this little blemish the believer is delivered in his Lord's sight. If he had said there is no hideous scar, no horrible deformity, no deadly ulcer, we might even then have marveled. But when he testifies that she is free from the slightest spot, all these other forms of defilement are included, and the depth of wonder is increased. If he had but promised to remove all spots by and by, we should have had eternal reason for joy. But when he speaks of it as already done, who can restrain the most intense emotions of satisfaction and delight? O my soul, here is marrow and fatness for thee. Eat thy full, and be satisfied with royal dainties. Christ Jesus has no quarrel with his spouse. She often wanders from him and grieves his Holy Spirit, but he does not allow her faults to affect his love. He sometimes chides, but it is always in the tenderest manner, with the kindest intentions. It is my love, even then. There is no remembrance of our follies. He does not cherish ill thoughts of us, but he pardons and loves as well after the offense as before it. It is well for us it is so, for if Jesus were as mindful of injuries as we are, how could he commune with us? Many a time a believer will put himself out of humor with the Lord for some slight turn in providence, but our precious husband knows our silly hearts too well to take offense at our ill manners.
Far above the noise of
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his treatment of the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. As we've already seen, the basis of this commandment is the uniqueness and sanctity of marriage. Having established the marriage covenant himself, God requires marital fidelity and purity. Further, this command extends beyond the marriage partners to protecting the purity of one's neighbor. Believers are commanded to avoid all appearance of evil. Moral impurity begins in the mind, so the Bible commands us to guard our thoughts. Now to continue dealing with the seventh commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
As the law under which man was created was not to lead a life of solitude, but enjoy a help meet for him, the Lord made the requisite provision for us in this respect, by the institution of marriage, which he has sanctioned with his blessing. Hence, it is evident that any mode of cohabitation different from marriage is cursed in his sight. And I think that brings you to the heart of the seventh commandment. Paul makes this very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Where at the beginning of the chapter he shows that marriage allows a physical union which would be utterly abominable and sinful outside of marriage. In verse 2 he says to avoid fornication or impurity. Now let me just interject there. Notice the burden for the Church of Christ. To avoid impurity. It's no excuse that the society around us is rotten. That's the society in which Paul lived. It was vile, it was wicked. It was unchaste. But in the midst of all that moral perverseness, the great burden of the apostle's heart was that the people of God should avoid impurity. He said to avoid fornication or impurity, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So the seventh commandment, according to Paul, demands chastity, not only in married people, but also in unmarried people. The seventh commandment disallows all cohabitation outside of the marriage bond. Anything else is sin. Now stop for a moment and think what this calls for. This calls for purity, first of all, of thought. Unchastity captures the mind before it ever finds expression in action. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27 and 28? You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The sin, first of all, is hatched in the mind. Sin is always like that. It storms the mind. Therefore, it is of prime importance to guard our mind. The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. This is the language of someone getting ready to run an errand, to do a service. The reference is to the long flowing garments that they wore, and if you were going to run on a special errand, you would hitch up those garments under the girdle so that your legs would be unentangled and you'd be ready to run and do what you should do. Peter says if you're going to run for God, if you're going to work for God, if you're going to obey God, if you're going to be of any use to God, then you need to gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And the word there again has to do with how you're going to think and look at things. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, listen, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Gird up the loins of your mind. How do you do that? How do you guard the mind, especially in an age like the one in which we live? It's supposed to be the communication age. Well, it certainly is, as far as the communication of everything vile and wretched is concerned. How do you guard the mind? Remember the words of Philippians chapter 4? Finally, brethren, verse 8 of that chapter. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And obviously the meaning is, if there is no virtue, do not allow yourself to think upon it. If there is nothing of praise to God in it, or of good to you in it, do not even think upon it. If it's not true and honest and just and pure and lovely, then do not allow it entrance into your mind. Remember the oft-quoted saying, you can't stop a bird landing on your head, but you certainly can stop it building its nest. Guard the mind. Purity commences in the mind. Purity must govern the mind. Otherwise, it will never be found anywhere else in the life. But equally, this commandment then calls for purity, not only in our thoughts, but in all that produces thought, either in ourselves or in others. The world is constantly bombarding our minds. It assaults our eyes and our ears in order to captivate the mind. It produces every sort of perverted philosophy in order to confuse us and lead us astray. Thus, we must be careful what we look at, what we listen to, what we read, where we go, with whom we do it. The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Again, in Psalm 119, there is the prayer, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken me in thy way. Do you notice how those two things are brought together? How are we to have our eyes turned away from beholding the obscene and the wicked, the lecherous and the unclean? By the quickening and the reviving touch of the Spirit of God. Ultimately, this battle is spiritual. It is only by the conquering power of spiritual life within us that we will overcome the most debased instincts of our fallen nature. Job said in chapter 31, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I made a covenant with mine eyes. What a telling way to put it. We need to be careful what we look at or listen to or read or allow by any means to be introduced into our mind. And also, we need to be careful how we present ourselves to others. Remember, we're discussing this, that purity of thought is commanded by the commandment here. That's the law of God. But if God commands us to be pure in thought, then He commands us to be pure in relation to that which causes others to think. The Word of God calls for modesty of dress, and that for very good reason. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10 speaks of the attire of an harlot. There is that brazenness, that self-show of the harlot. Seen in her dress. Sometimes even professing Christians dress just like that. Think of what Isaiah says in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a stab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. What a shame when God has to speak to the daughters of His church and say, in effect, you are acting and walking and parading like harlots. Oh, but Lord, we haven't done this. We wouldn't go there. We wouldn't. Hold a second. You must be pure in your thoughts. But you must also ensure that you do not provoke impurity in the thoughts of others. Am I my brother's keeper? You'd better understand that you are. We may well adopt the words of Paul that he was using spiritually, and we could take it not only spiritually, but very, very actually. As to the flesh, I am jealous over you, he says in 2 Corinthians 11. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Not only should we be careful about our thoughts, careful about our appearance, we should be doubly careful about our speech. I said at the very commencement that we live in a day of debased speech and restricted vocabulary, so that the language of the gutter has now passed into the everyday usage of the people. And that must be lamented. Among God's people there should be a reserve and a modesty of speech. There is no place for the blue joke, for the double entendre, or for the suggestive smut that all too often passes for humor. There are times when the subject of marriage and morality must be dealt with. And the Word of God commands us to face it honestly. It does not indulge in Victorian prudery, but it's the sworn enemy of all that is vulgar, the sworn enemy of that immodest explicitness that constantly bombards us and that stirs up passion and lust and leaves a trail of devastation wherever it goes. And of course, if we must be careful of our thoughts and our production of thought in others, we must certainly maintain purity in our action. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he took something that was a saying in common use, and he was using it in one way. I'm using it in a totally different way tonight. He was against this saying in the setting in which it was placed in Colossae. But in this setting, it would be a golden rule. This is one area, the area of chastity, where touch not, taste not, and handle not must ever be in order. And remember, especially for God's people, we not only have the law, but we have the truth that the body of the Christian is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Christian is joined to Christ.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.